Monday, November 25th, 2024, Board of Equalization at 8:45, followed by Board of Commissioners at 9 a.m.
8:45. Call to order the Dakota County Board of Equalizations. Everyone stand up and say the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Roll call, please.
Brian?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Troy?
Here.
Marty?
Yep. I'd like to make a motion to excuse Scott.
A second.
Okay, Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes. The Dakota County Board of Equalization reserves the right to adjust the order of items on the agenda if necessary. Consent agenda item number 1A, approve all the minutes, previous minutes, October 14th, 2024.
So moved.
Second.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
New business 2A, 8:45. Hearing for Boys and Girls Home of Nebraska, Inc., application for exemption from motor vehicle taxes by qualifying nonprofit organization for 2004 Chevy Express van with the last four digits of the VIN, 8215. Same, pretty much same thing, isn't it?
Yep, same thing as last year. They just want to renew their stickers.
Okay. I'd say make a motion.
I'd make a motion to approve the Boys and Girls Home application.
A second.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Thank you.
And job,
are you
I'm
here?
Done.
Yeah, you're here for the next one. 8:46 a.m., which is 8:47, we'll go. Hearing of Heartland Counseling's application for exemption for motor vehicles taxed by qualifying nonprofit organization for three vehicles. Chevy Impala with the last four, 1096, a 2016 Dodge Caravan, the last four, 5794, and a 2021 Nissan Titan pickup with the last four, the VIN is 5693. Same thing as last year.
Yep, same as, yep.
So I'd make a motion to approve Heartland Counseling's applications for exemption.
I'll second.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Quick and painless. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Now we're going to have Jennifer Jackson from Heartland come up and talk to us.
Hi.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Can you push my PowerPoint forward as we go?
But Kim can.
Okay.
Because I am caveman.
All right.
Yeah, we want some work.
Just the arrow to the right. Down to the right, just the button.
Thanks for volunteering, Kim.
There's like five things on the desk.
I have to do this once.
Maybe this one?
Yeah.
There we go.
You can go forward for that.
You can, so... I'm Jennifer Jackson. I'm with Heartland Counseling, and I'm here today to talk to you about a proposal that we are doing. You can go ahead and move forward, Kim. Thank you. So I just want to do a brief timeline, just give you a little bit of background information. So we were founded in 77. We became an official nonprofit in 92, received 501c3 status in 94. I started in 2012. We did receive $5 million with the South Sioux City Schools in 2018, where we started our school-based program. And in 2020, we started the youth peer support. In 22, we added four counties. We now cover 15 counties in our region. In 23, we received $1.7 million ARPA funds to expand telehealth and also add some new providers. We just became a United Way partner for the next 3 years, which means we will get $300,000 and for over the course of 3 years. And we just found out 5 weeks ago we are one of seven agencies in the state of Nebraska chosen to become a certified community behavioral health clinic, which is a CCBHC, which is awesome. The other agencies are in Lincoln and Omaha, one in Hastings and one in Norfolk. So with that, it's a one-stop shop, and what that means is one of the nine core areas that you have to have is a crisis stabilization unit. These are all the services we currently offer: mental health evals, substance abuse evals, psychiatry, individual group marriage and family therapy. We have a 24/7 crisis mobile response team. We work very closely with the Sheriff's Department and the South Sioux City PD. We also do IOP for substance use, which is 10 hours a week where they come on site. We do continuing care groups. We're in 14 school districts now where we have 19 full-time school-based therapists in the schools. In South Sioux City, we have 6 full-time therapists and 2 full-time peer support providers. We also do wraparound services. We do interventions. We do permanent supported housing, which we have, if maybe some of you just recently saw a special on KTIV, where we actually have 33 individuals where we home in Woodbury County and Dakota County that have been homeless for at least a year. And then we also do prevention in schools, and we do DUI and MIP classes. So these are the new services that we have to offer with the CCBHC. They want us, so the governor signed this into law, and they actually want us to do a soft opening starting July 1st, but we have to have everything up and running by January of 26. So we're going to do a community needs assessment. We're going to add supported employment, targeted case management, assertive community treatment, which is an ACT team that's working with individuals with severe and persistent mental illness in the community, where we have a team that goes to their home. We will be doing a community treatment aid as well, which is working with intensive programs with youth, smoking cessation program. We're going to be adding IOP for mental health, which is where they come on site for 10 hours. We're also going to add MAT, which is Medicaid assisted treatment for opioid use. And then the last one, which I'm here today to ask you or for some funding for, is the crisis stabilization unit. So what is a CSU? A CSU, the purpose of this, we're actually, so currently there's 2 CSUs in the state of Nebraska. There's one in Grand Island who's been around since 1997, and then there's one in Lincoln. What we're doing is we're taking the model from Grand Island and just putting it here. It's been very successful. They've been around since 1997. They have 12 beds. They have 6 detox beds and 6 mental health beds. Currently in Siouxland, we have no detox at all. So this would be adding detox. They currently receive, you can go ahead, yeah. They currently receive 100 referrals a month, and they accept 60. So what we would do at the Crisis Stabilization Center is we would do a screening and assessment. The idea is to wrap services around them immediately. The idea is the social detox. They would be in and out within 72 hours. However, let's say we have somebody that really needs to get into treatment, then they could stay there up to 2 weeks while they're waiting to get into treatment. So currently, in the last month, we literally begged Mercy in Sioux City to keep 2 of our clients there until we could get them into rehab. So the idea is to reduce the cost of hospitalization. They would be able to stay with us. So,
is it a locked unit?
Or? No, it's not. No. It's not. It's all voluntary. And Chase Frankel, who is the CEO in Grand Island, said, definitely have a nice big open space, which they do in the back, because the anxiety of people waiting and just having a place to go. And next. So we're looking at 17 to 19 employees adding to this. So we would have a CSU director, an assistant CSU director, a medical provider, which could be a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. We also would contract with an MD, because we do have to have a medical director. We would have another licensed therapist there, another substance abuse therapist, case managers, four full-time nurses, and then PRN is as needed, another 5 to 6. So the core approach is that we would add, obviously, therapy, medication management, case management, peer support. So recovery-focused, and this is, again, the least restrictive care. Let me go to the next one. So the primary goals, again, is to stabilize individuals in crisis, reduce law enforcement time spent there. So the goal is less than 15 minutes. We would reduce EPCs, which is emergency protective custody. And for those of you that are familiar, that means two officers driving to Norfolk, Omaha, Lincoln, being there for hours on end. And so this would reduce all of that. It also would reduce the just overall psychiatric hospitalization, emergency department visits, and then time in jail. So the community benefits is it saves taxpayer money by reducing law enforcement and ER usage, offers accessible and compassionate care, and again, reduces the repeated crisis episodes. You can pass that, Kim, it's fine. So why is it critical for our community? Suicide is the number one leading cause of death for 10 to 34-year-olds in Nebraska. I don't know if you all heard, but there was a 12-year-old who killed herself just 2 weeks ago in Neely. 2 years ago, we had a 10-year-old kill himself. It's something that we, it's, well, if you guys look at this sheet that I sat in front of you, our crisis number since 988 came out, it's right here, Bob. Yep. So 988 is the 911 for suicide that started July 1st of 22. And we, all those calls, if somebody calls 988, those calls go into Boys Town in Omaha. And we are the responding team that responds in those 15 counties. So our crisis touches increased by 261% in 1 year. So we, you can see in 2022, it was 863 touches. In 2023, it was 3,100. So. In SAMHSA, SAMHSA is the Substance Abuse Mental Health Service Administration. So that's where the state of Nebraska gets all their federal funding when it comes to mental health and substance use. In January of 23, it used to be that 1 in 5 individuals struggle with mental illness. Now it's 1 in 4. In Nebraska, 61% of individuals need mental health, but they're not receiving it. And the number one reason is because of cost. So with the CCBHC, nobody is turned away regardless of their ability to pay and regardless of where they live. You can just see here the orange, again, means the suicidal ideation is that's the worst. And in Nebraska, we're way up there. So the orange. So this just came out. This was just released last month from Department of Behavioral Health. Again, these are self-reported admissions, but you can see alcohol is number one use. Over 50% of individuals struggling with substances is alcohol. Number two is meth, and number three is marijuana. So currently, these are where the three stars is where the current CSUs are. So the one in Omaha I added, they're that's in Papillion. It's not up and going yet, but that's also the county is working along with law enforcement and the Department of Behavioral Health to add and to fund a CSU there. So their idea is to put it actually right next to the jail. So this is Dakota County numbers. If you can see the second from the right, this is according to the county health rankings. Again, mental health distress continues to rise. 13% of adults in Dakota County report that they have 14 or more days in a month where they are stressed out with mental health distress. So I wanted to show some studies that have been done. I actually belong to this nationwide coalition. We meet every other month. and we're all different crisis stabilization crisis teams across the United States, and this all came from our group. So, but this was a study done by SAMHSA again. So for mobile crisis services, it costs about $1,500. So you guys remember, we have a crisis response team, and we're just going to be adding to it with the CSU. So regular police intervention is $1,900. So we're looking at saving 23% for our law enforcement and in the counties. So some more cost savings, again, just reducing the time law enforcement has to drive. Again, two officers driving to Norfolk, sitting there for hours on end waiting for somebody to be admitted. Again, lowering incarceration, preventing unnecessary hospitalization, and then just, again, enhancing community safety. So this is another study that was done. It's a little bit older. It was done in 2008, but you can see where the rest, the bottom line is the cost savings that has happened, diverted versus not diverted to a CSU. So in Arkansas put this into law, and they have tons of studies out of Arkansas. So it's just made a huge impact again. One county had a 12% reduction in total number of days where people experienced undesirable disruptive behaviors in comparison to 6 months prior the CSU. Really what happens is when people are in crisis, it's really within that first 24-hour period where we just need to get them through that. So by allowing them to come to a safe place like the CSU, you know, again, we're going to help wrap those services around them and hopefully prevent hospitalization. So we actually have over 20 certified peer support specialists at Heartland, and the whole idea with the CSU is that would be all the wraparound staff. So this is, again, research shows that 50% reduction in rehospitalization by having peer support providers there. So again, I just want to share kind of where we've came. We've had, you know, community support for 20 years, mobile crisis response for 12 years, peer support for 10, full-time therapy in the South Sioux City schools, permanent supported housing started 5 years ago, youth peer support 4 years ago, expansion, we've just grown. I've had four more school districts reach out in the last 3 weeks, I guess, asking us if we would expand into their districts. We've had a new facility. We're down on Riverview Drive, and now we just found out we're going to be a CCBHC, which is just amazing and exciting for our community. So again, we anticipate over the next 2 years we need to have the CSU. A CSU really needs to be within 20 miles of our agency, and right now we don't have anything even close to us. So some of our strengths that I just wanted to touch on. Kim, can you go to the next slide? Thanks. Just that we're really rooted here. We've been around since 1977. We work with the whole tri-state, although 40% of our clients are from Dakota County. So out of the 15 counties that we serve in all of Siouxland, 40%. We work very closely with the Nebraska Department of Ed. We've been a Region 4 provider since 1977. We work with HUD. Like I said, we have the Permanent Supported Housing Program, and we have tons of programs with Medicaid as well. So we also are very diverse in our funding. We always talk about how we braid our funding. And when I met with Dr. Tom Janicek, he's the director of behavioral health that was just appointed by the governor, he said we really need to have buy-in from the city, from the county, from the region, and then we would get funding from the state to do this CSU. So these are all the different diverse fundings that we have currently. We're evidence-driven, and that is where everything is research-based, all of our programs. So these are just some of the programs that we provide currently and our core values as well. So we're committed. We have 19 board of directors, and we're, I mean, again, just very excited that this is going to be happening in our community. So, and this is just, again, some more bragging things about us, I guess, but just to show that we, my staff, do amazing work, and our turnover rate's only at 4%.
This day and age, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've grown. We now have 80 staff members, and in 2020 we only had 40. Just to goes to show the expansion and the need of services for mental health and substance use. So our proposal again for me today, this is our current building on the left. The new building would be on the right. So the far right-hand edge is Riverview Drive. And so this building we're proposing would go right next to Heartland, and we would have a breezeway connecting the two buildings. So, and this is the actual floor plan. So there's 12 beds there, but we have a lot of offices. And the reason why we have a lot of offices there is because with economic development, there's some funding where if we have a headquarters, we can apply for additional funding. So we would move all the directors into this building as well. And then one thing that's not up there, but we may consider, is putting in a pharmacy as well. So we're ready to go. I mean, we have, again, the readiness piece is that we have a lot of great support. I do all the LB 51 trainings for law enforcement. For those of you that don't know, that is a law that went into effect 4 years ago, where all law enforcement has to have mental health, substance abuse training, as well as de-escalation and officer wellness training. So we provide that at no cost to all of the 15 counties currently, and feel like we have a really good relationship with them. And again, just the braided resources, and so we do lots of fundraising, and hence Brian's mustache today. Signed up. That was for our event Saturday night. But so, again, through this, we expect to serve approximately 1,200 unique individuals that come through, over 100 referrals a month anticipated. So, and we do lots. It's all going to be data-driven. So we would have to contract with, like, the Nebraska Policy Center, or to do all of the data and the statistics for us. So, yep. And the great thing is Chase, like I said, from Grand Island, is very willing. He's already sent me all of his models, handbooks, job descriptions, everything. So what I'm here today is to ask is, would the county be willing to invest in this program? And that would be number one question. So we anticipate it's going to be $4 million. We've already approached the city as well. Like I said, we're applying for funding right now through the region. There's a grant right now for $400,000 with the region that is due actually this week. And then the state, we'll go back to the state and ask them for funding as well. They said we'd have to come to you all first before we approach them.
Once you're up and running, is there funding through, does Region 4 fund part of it once you're up and running?
Yes. So great question. So with the CCBHC, we will have what's called a PPS rate, which we have to do a cost analysis, which is due January 10th. We're going to put every anticipated cost and with the whole organization. And so the idea is this: the whole organization will be sustainable because we will have no loss, because it will all come back as with our PPS rate. So every single person that walks in the door that has Medicaid, we're going to get a daily rate for. It doesn't matter how intense the service or not.
Okay.
We're going to get this flat rate.
Daily rate.
So moving forward, yes, we will get funding from the region, but for people that have no insurance or that are underinsured. So let's say you have Blue Cross Blue Shield, but you have a $5,000 deductible, and but you qualify under sliding scale, then the region will step in and pay for that service. With Medicaid, we're going to get that PPS rate to pay for that. So anything out of pocket, anything we'd have to write off, will go into that PPS rate to cover all those costs.
Okay.
Great question.
So the funding, Jennifer, is just for the building, new building?
Correct.
That's what your request?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And what's the timeline on that, if we were to support that? I mean, tomorrow?
Well, we would be able to get it built within 9 months once we get the funding. So we need to raise the money for the funding first. And so Dr. Janasek said that he was willing to work with us because, again, remember, they want us up and running as a CCBHC by January of 26. But we know that this is the one thing that may hold us up, and he's willing to work with us on it. So
I know that as we get to the end of the year, any ARPA money that we have has to be earmarked by the end of the year. This is just my own thought. Any funding that we do on this, I'd really like to be ARPA funding, because I don't, you know, everything is tax dollars, but I don't want to use Dakota County tax dollars to do that. It's just something that we haven't done in the past. But with ARPA funds, I think it's something we should sure investigate. So I don't know that we would give an answer today, but
yeah,
we're getting really close on knowing what the final ARPA numbers are.
Okay.
And what do you think, Brian?
I'm all right with that.
Yeah, we have to have them done by the end of the year.
Yeah, by the end of the year. So we would know in the next, you know, the next, probably in the next 20 days before that last meeting, we would know what they are. And
Awesome.
I know it's an amazing program. I sit on Region 4's Board of Governors, and Heartland is certainly as respected as anybody in the state of Nebraska with what they do. Also, having served in law enforcement 40 years ago and knowing what it was like then, so often, you know, you get 4 hours of mental health training when you went through camp back then, and you're dealing with people in crisis. And we were driving to Norfolk nonstop. Randy, who's here today, he would attest to that. And the way that it's handled now, and we get all the numbers on the emergency committals, and so much of that is avoided by the crisis team. When they have an issue, they show up on the team, and they're able to deal with the people in crisis, and it's better for everybody, for sure.
Yeah, and the process of going to Norfolk now is way different than when you had it.
Yeah.
It's, last time I went was almost eight to 10 hours I was there,
yeah,
just sitting, doing nothing, just with the
yeah,
individual.
So, yeah, I think it's a brutal, fantastic idea.
Awesome. Any other questions? All right.
We'll definitely be in touch.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you for all you guys do.
D. Christie, assessor's request for approval of tax and tax list corrections, if any. I don't see any. Okay. Mail and our emergency business. Mm-hmm. Public comment. Make motion to adjourn.
All right. Thanks again, Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
A current copy of the Open Media Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll go ahead and take attendance.
Marty?
Yep.
Ryan?
Present.
Bob?
Here.
Troy?
Here.
At this time, we'll have public comment. So anybody that wants to comment on anything that's not on today's agenda, now would be the time to raise your hand and come forward.
Walt. Everybody knows me, Walt Berman. I'm here basically for the Crystal Lake improvement. And how many of you understand what the maximum slope is for a zero turn lawnmower? Anybody?
I'm not off the top of my head.
All right, I'll pass this around. And what I want to cover is going to take up too much of your time. We got to get on the agenda. But I would like to invite whoever out to, and so you can meet with Gene Murray, my neighbor Bill Hafke. First of all, I want to thank the commissioners for paving our road. It's working out fantastic. The guy did a fantastic job. I hear no complaints on it. And same way with Gil, he got all the entrance is all done in there, but we have a huge issue with the ditch. It's a canyon. And I think somebody's from here could need to meet out there, and then we can get on the agenda and cover all the things that are wrong that a lot of people aren't aware of. I was there every day watching what was going on, and there's a lot of things we need to cover. Right now, Gene is in a bad way. I think his value, and he's talked the same way, the value of his lots has went down considerably because of the slopes. People are not going to buy a home that's got a slope of over 20%. And I look at the big field right next to the Quonset. That's a big curve. I don't know how he's going to mow it. I really don't. And this has got to be addressed. And that's why I'm here. And I would invite anybody, just let me know, and we'll take a look at the whole situation, get on the agenda, and because it's got to be resolved. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I don't know if Bill's got something you want to add, Bill. Come on up.
Is it on your side of the, on both sides of the road?
You know, on the all the homes side, it's a fairly good job. I really don't have a complaint on, other than they dug those ditches with a small backhoe, did a great job. On the other side, they dug the ditch with, I think it was a D9 cant, huge, 10-foot wide blade. So the bottom of that ditch is 10-foot wide, and then it goes out on there. That's enough for a Grand Canyon.
So yeah, okay.
So Bill, you can cover.
Okay. Think about it. Is that this is total overkill that transpired out there. The draining's unbelievable. The water on the north side of that road, it all is going to drain toward the lake. Okay, then you got the high of the road, that'll drain to the south. We got a huge ditch that goes through there with an 18-inch culvert. And I don't know, we've lived out there for over 50 years, and never, ever is there ever that much water. We ended up, it all seeps away because it's mostly a sand base.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just total overkill what has happened out there. And we got one area where the land is much higher, no ditch, it just goes right to the road. Easy to maintain. Other areas, it's the degrees of slope is over 15 degrees to take care of the whatever vegetation that's going to be growing.
Mm.
Somewhere it seems to me that needs to be filled back up a ways to where it's in a decent residential area. It'd be one thing I guess because I look at it residential and I see the different areas around. Saw Mill Road, how that has a nice, the ditches are nice, everything is good. We are sitting there with deep ditches there. The road is flat, you go around the corner on an icy road or a snowpack. I could see if a car was going too fast, it would go right down in the ditch. And the thing is that is so steep, the car could roll, or also you could have other physical problems with an automobile just because it's so dramatic out there what has happened. I guess the road is fantastic. They did a great job. The engineering, not so good.
Okay.
And I guess I'd even say look for a different engineer next time.
Okay.
Hopefully some things can be corrected out there where things aren't so dramatic.
Yeah, Gene will have to come in and talk, being the landowner. I mean, he would be the only one that would have standing, so he would be the one that would have to come in and approach us about it.
I don't know if you need my... I didn't give a name.
Oh, we know you, Bill.
Oh,
you,
okay.
Yeah, you bet. I appreciate you coming in, though. And
it's just the finish to it is just disappointing.
Yeah, and I live just down you... from you in the Oxbow, and it is. It's just pure sugar sand, and okay. You couldn't pour enough water on there to make it run.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Anybody else in public comment? All right, we're going to go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from November 12, 2024. Approval of payroll claims November 10th to November 23rd. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims. Approval of official office reports from the Register of Deeds, the county clerk, and the district courts. Before we approve or not approve those, I would make a motion to having Scott Don saying we'll go ahead and excuse his absence.
Yep.
That makes sense. Second.
Second.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yeah.
Marty?
Yep. So I came in last Friday. I did accounts payable. Everything seemed to be in order. I looked through the payroll. They were finishing up payroll, so I would make a suggestion that somebody makes a motion that we approve consent agenda items based on the review of payroll.
I'll make that motion to approve payroll and accounts payable. Accounts payable and payroll subject to approval.
Yep. To review.
To review.
Yep.
I'd second that.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
New business. Nathan Smith, Ameritrack Rail, to discuss railroad crossing on F Avenue, looking to either have a road closed or add an additional railroad crossing directly adjacent to the existing crossing. Burlington Northern Santa Fe has requested that the road be closed, though it's not a requirement. Possible meeting at this site afterwards. Come on up.
Hi, my name is Nathan Smith. I'm with Ameritrack Rail. We're a railroad contractor based out of Indiana, and we're working with New York Grain on a railroad expansion at our facility. And one of the items in the expansion is adding an additional rail crossing at F Avenue. With the current layout of the facility, everything is being loaded from the east. In this configuration, the entire lead of the train on the main line would extend all the way over to Highway 77, which is a four-lane highway, which would temporarily block access as they're servicing the facility. So with this new configuration to the west, it would eliminate the need to block Highway 77. And with this new track configuration, it's also increasing the volume, the anticipated volume they're going to be receiving annually. They're going to anticipate about a 15% increase in grain car capacity every year, and they're also receiving a whole new commodity of transload cars with containers. And all of this is going to add to and anticipate about a half a dozen new jobs for the facility. But
they're putting in a bean plant too. Or are they doing?
It's an existing facility.
Yeah.
So the only new service they're going to be offering is the transloading of the containers.
Okay.
But with the track going to the west, they're going to be crossing over this F Avenue, which it appears only really service one residential home over to the north. And to minimize any possible issues with road crossing, it would be best just to close it. But, no requirement is given one way or another. That's why we're talking to you to see if you have any recommendation one way or another.
The road is also used. It's right out where Mark Elvinicius' sand pit is. So most of his truck traffic goes west to 110. If anything happens to that road, it would leave him one way in, one way out. There's only, like he says, there's only one resident, the old McNaughton farm, just to the north of those tracks. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if we would necessarily want to close that. What would they do to another railroad crossing that continued on to the west if it's not closed? But that's going to happen either way.
What's going to happen?
What additional track? Where's the additional track going to be?
So there's the existing BNSF line runs east-west. The new track is going to be just 25 feet north, running parallel with it.
Okay.
So it's just going to be an additional road crossing on that same road is what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can, I'm Kara Grokamp. I'm with BNSF.
You bet. Come on in.
Just looking at the F road closure as a safety play, now that there's going to be two tracks, increased train traffic, it's just a crossbuck crossing, so there's no active warning devices there currently. G Avenue, one, I think it's a mile, maybe a little bit more than a mile to the west, does have active warning devices. I don't know what the road, east-west road just to the north is, but looks like a potentially a better road than F Avenue coming up anyway. I mean, I don't know exactly what you see in all weather conditions, but it seems like F Road may not even be accessible year-round in high rains. And so that's kind of the driver behind suggesting a possible closure. It's not at all to limit access or to try to take control of anything, but, it may be beneficial for the county as well. That's less road miles to maintain.
If it's 25 foot wide, then would they just bring it up to the same level as the existing track, and it would just be one crossover?
That's correct. The two tracks would be the same elevation going through, and then have the same slope.
Yeah, you just have a double track there, 25 foot apart.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you, if we did that 25 foot apart, do you guys, your right of way, maintain the short area between the tracks, or is that something the county would be maintaining too then?
Generally, if it's less than 15 feet, the county maintains it. Okay. Or if it's more than 15 feet. Sorry. Yep. Yeah. The county would maintain that portion between.
I know also that Mellis Beach area, when the road is closed, the fire and rescue from Dakota City has keys to the back of that property. So if they could not get in there, they do use that area to get in through, and then they come through where the plant is there, the old cargo plant is. If we shut that road off completely, then they would have to come, go around to 110 and then back around to their so I don't know, I would be hesitant to close the road, but I'd sure say, you know, we could do a temporary closure during any construction or anything that needed to be done. But I guess my feeling is I would hate to restrict that anymore, because it's always an issue getting, or it hasn't happened yet, but there will be a time where emergency vehicles need to get back in there and we won't have access.
Yeah, I agree, Marty. I'd like to look at it physically.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see.
And I see it.
We have a planned meeting at 12:30 today to be on site with DOT and the main line. So
okay.
Yep, that would work for that'd work for me.
I'm trying to make that.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead, Gene.
Can I speak up?
You bet, absolutely. Yeah, Gene is a landowner, and he has a housing development just to the north of that. Yeah. So he would have an opinion that would be very important to this too.
If I'm understanding correctly, it'd be from Mark Alvinish's, the driveway south.
Yeah.
F Avenue.
Yeah.
I myself wouldn't be in favor of closing that road for the simple fact that it would, there'd only be one access for everybody then. Right now there's two. Now there is somebody that lives on that road. I have no idea who it is.
Yeah, in that blue house there. Yeah.
They're not going to be in favor of closing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's me. I am not in favor. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I myself am not.
Yep.
Now, if it needs to be shut down for a short period of time for construction.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way it is. But.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. I think that it's hard to lose an artery because by the time you do that and something negatively happens, it could really
We're not going to drive trucks over because I don't think trucks are allowed. But yeah. I've got people that are interested in lots in that immediate area that will be driving their personal vehicles across it, I'm sure, in some point in time.
Mm-hmm. And that F Avenue as you go around up to 110, there's going to be not only the residential, but there's going to be more development along that road.
There is. But I just wanted to voice.
Yep.
My
yep. Well, thank you for doing that.
So as it sits, though, just the project with no road closure, just a temporary closure would be fine.
Gene? I don't think, because stuff like that's got to happen.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
I totally understand that. You know, but I just don't think it should be permanently closed. Okay. I really don't. Mm-hmm. And if it does, if you guys deem
no,
it necessary,
I
then I just go along with it.
I agree.
I just wanted to voice mine.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that sounds good. We'll definitely come out at 12:30, and some of us will be out there, and we'll take a look at it, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in. For sure. Board to approve or not approve agreement with Midwest Alarm Services to monitor the fire alarm system in the courthouse.
It's a Rodney deal.
Well, good morning.
Hey, Rodney.
Hello.
Well, as you do know or not know, we don't have monitoring at this time.
So, did we ever have monitoring?
Not since I've been here. I didn't realize that until we had a fire alarm a month ago, maybe.
So, we have a fire alarm system in our building, but nobody's monitoring.
That's correct. So, nobody's getting calls.
That doesn't seem like a very good idea.
No.
Okay, so what do we got going forward?
So what they're asking for is a one-time fee of, it's called a cellular dialer, and it sits right next to the panel and sends a signal to them, and then we have a call list that we create, and mm-hmm. they call who we want them to call. And that's basically it. The service charge annually is almost $3,000, but it's for 60 months, and I don't assume that they would raise that. That's 5 years. That's mm-hmm. that's what's kind of going on.
Okay.
So that's the only way that, I mean, I don't know why we would use anybody else. That's why I called them.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's a Midwest alarm, Midwest.
Yeah.
Comes and services everything here.
So if everything's being serviced, we just as well have it go somewhere if we have a fire.
Right.
I would make a motion that we would have somebody to watch over our building to make sure that if it does catch on fire, won't somebody gets called. Yeah, I would say that
please.
We should yes. definitely go forward with this.
Second.
Okay. Thank you.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
And thanks for doing that, Roddy.
Absolutely. You want
board
to go over my other items?
Or yep. Wait. Board to review and approve one of the agreement options for maintenance of the elevator in the courthouse.
All right. Let me find that. So what we have now is we're paying about $225, $250?
I think so. $260.
Okay. $260 a month. So I got a bid. I tried to get two bids. The other company didn't show.
Okay.
Schumacher Elevator from Sioux City did show up and have service, full service, which means if we call them, we have an issue with this 30-year-old elevator. They come out and fix it. They do not charge us unless it's overtime. And I don't see that ever happening. And that fee is $204 a month.
And right now we pay $260 per month?
Yes.
Really? That's kind of a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer. They do have another option that you guys should know. It's $70 a month for just the standard grease and oil.
That's just for inspection to
that's
make sure
correct.
That's grease and oil, and then
yeah.
if there's an issue, then we're paying above and beyond.
That's correct.
That could be expensive. Yeah, it could be expensive.
So, with it being so old, I would recommend that we spend the $204 a month. And we already have an issue with the packing on the bottom, on the base, that does need to be repaired. So that's going to have to come pretty quickly. Even this gentleman that I spoke with saw it, and he's like, well, that has to be repaired. It's got a catch can. It's a temporary thing that they've got going on that he indeed showed me. So any oil overflow is going into a catch can at this time. So there's a packing in the bottom of it.
Just like something that you'd have on your grill. They have something at the bottom of it that's catching anything that leaks out of it.
Yes, but it's a temporary thing that they set to catch the oil.
Okay.
And that's already one issue. And I don't know if they would acquire that. Maybe that's why he was pointing it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd keep you all informed of that.
Well, I think that I'd make a motion that we go with the $204 a month to do the maintenance contract on the elevator here in the courthouse.
The Schumacher.
That is Schumacher. They're in Sioux City also.
Second.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. And I'll find out about that repair, see if we can...
If they're going to absorb it.
Yeah, if they'll absorb that.
Yeah. I imagine we'll probably wind up with it.
I hope not.
But we'll see.
I do my best. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. But we had one more issue. The door.
Oh, yeah.
For
it's
motor vehicle.
In ARPA, but we'll go ahead and hop down there now.
Sorry about that.
It's a new safety door for the driver's license examination room.
Yeah, it's a 90-minute fire.
Yep, 90-minute fire door. We're getting the door through Builder's Source, and Rodney will install the door.
That's correct.
So, and that's through ARPA, and we have our bid here. So we'll address that when we get down there.
Oh,
we'll just address that. But yeah, that looks good. Thanks for doing the legwork on
that. Absolutely.
Now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Todd Yule, Yell Maintenance, and Jack Carson from Albury Energy discussed findings found with the jail smoke panel and present proposal to get system upgrade working, board to approve or deny proposal and determine funding source. This would be in addition to the already approved ARPA funds of $43,070.
For you guys.
And it's, honestly, guys, I'm not sure if we'll be able to make a motion on this today because, you know, we worked, the project manager and the programmer and I worked real hard last week going through these smoke panels. And we didn't get this proposal until, like, I just got added to it. So,
this is all kind of brought to light as of
I want you guys to have this ahead of time, but it just didn't happen. What you got in front of you. This is something we, in my opinion, we need to get fixed. But I want you guys to be able to have time to look at the information as well.
Absolutely.
Bring me up to speed, though. So the last time we met. We agreed to pay to have this thing working, and what between then and now happened to make it so what we approved then doesn't make it work.
So the way I understand it, what we had approved was get the programming tied into the HVAC system, get that stuff working, because we had no controls over the HVAC system at all. The programming was old and couldn't even access it. Nobody could access it.
Yeah.
So, and then along with that, they were going to review our smoke panel. Wasn't going to be fixing it. It was going to be review it and make sure we're up to par.
By smoke panel,
the smoke
evac system.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's a fire in those pods that it wasn't currently working. So if they made someone, they would manually switch it, but it wasn't kicking on or anything. And so we had two scopes of work. So on the left side of the folder is what the previous proposal was.
Yeah.
This first one was getting the outdated global controller replaced, so we did go ahead and completely finish up that project. We reprogrammed it, got new user interface graphics for ease of operation for them. We already spent time going through the owner training with Todd, so we're all up to speed on that.
with the smoke evac system, very, very hands-on situation. And the problem was is, to begin, we weren't even 100% sure where everything was at in the jail. And what we came to find was part of the system, the relays and the wiring, and I'm not going to go into too much extensive detail on it, but the pods, the holding cells, you guys have seven individual holding cells. Well, they've got about a 19-foot ceiling to the drop-down ceiling tiles, and the lift that the jail has only gets you up about 18 feet.
Yeah.
And then above the drop ceiling, it's another 4 or 5 feet to get to where the relays and the wiring at. So there's just no safe way for our, I mean, there are crazy OSHA violations out there. I mean, it'd be great if you could put a ladder up on there and harness yourself in, but it's you're not allowed to do that, nor is it safe. And so we're going to have to actually rent a lift to come in here to be able to get up to those parts to operate or to get those all replaced. So there's seven relays that need replaced. We'd found one, I've never seen it before. It was seriously blown up, the relay, because you send power and that relay will then tell the exhaust fan to kick on, to the point where there was like black, almost like smoke damage around it. Never seen that before. But so there's seven relays that need to be replaced, and then there's a this thing called an actuator that controls when that exhaust fan kicks on, it opens the exhaust damper, and there we found that one of those was not operational, and so they were all probably installed at the same time. And so on the right hand side, we've got three, we broke it down for operator for budget purposes, but we're recommending doing all three. So the first one, the base scope of work, it is time and material for the lift for two technicians to come out here, replace the relays, rewire everything up, the programming to get that completely fixed. The additional scope number two is to get those all seven of those exhaust relays or exhaust actuators replaced. So we covered one of them in the base scope because it's broken currently.
The actuators are on the dampers?
Yes. Okay. Yep. So one of them is completely broken. I mean, and you could assume that the other six would most likely fail around the same time. Mm-hmm. It could last another 10 years. They could fail tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're recommending while we have a lift here on site to get those replaced. And then the additional scope number two, I just realized I called it additional scope number one, but that one is our recommendation to have our techs actually lower those wires and those relays. So down the road, if we ever have to service them again, we don't have to rent a lift and go through that process.
There's plenty of room above the ceiling tile to drop those down.
Yep. There's no reason why it should be
just fast.
Another 4 or 5 feet lower above that drop ceiling. We'll be able to bring it right down, and we'll be able to use the lift they have on hand in the future.
Yep. I'm pretty confident that the relays that are in there now were original with the jail. So it's actually from the ceiling tile to the bottom deck of the roof, which is where they're mounted, is 6 foot. So we're on an 18-foot. We max out an 18-foot on our lift that we currently have, which is right at the base of the ceiling tiles, and then it's another 6 foot above that. So there really is absolutely no safe way at all to do that, and there's no good tie-off points really either, or access to get to those tie-off points. Even with the lift that they'll bring in, we'll be able to use that, but even with that, we'll have to take some ceiling tiles out, maybe a light, to get that lift.
And moving some of those tables. I mean, they're bolted into the ground.
Yeah.
In order, some of them we won't have to because of the location of them, but
hopefully none of them will have to, but it is a possibility. So the project manager and I went through last week, went into every single pod. They went through every exhaust, every intake, and then all the relays went through all of them. The part that was alarming to me was the one he's talking about that was melted was, there was a fire. I mean, it's just that simple. There was a fire in there. I asked him if he could smell the wires, because that would kind of tell you, if it was new or old. And he couldn't smell anything. So that could have happened 5 years ago. It could have happened 5 weeks ago. Who knows?
We're lucky concrete doesn't burn.
We're really lucky a lot of things.
I was jokingly saying some poor inmate got blamed for that for sure. Yeah. They heard a big bang and a smoking smell.
It wasn't me. And the wiring up there is kind of, it's a bit of a mess. And there's a lot of voltage going up there, so a guy doesn't need to be jacking around too long. So it really needs to get done, and it needs to get done in a really safe manner. So that's kind of just of it. And I would suggest definitely when the time comes, we do all of them. So we know the age of all of them. We have the lift there already. You know, we're going to have to lock down the pod for at least a day per pod to get the work done, which sometimes causes issues too. I mean, we can do that. It's fine, but it's something to also think about.
The day that thing opened, do we think everything was working properly at that time?
I would sure like to think, but it doesn't always go that way.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have a facility manager who's actively checking things and monitoring the way it should be, I mean, the next conversation I want to have with you guys is a service contract. I mean, it is, HVAC is outrageous. It is such a huge investment for every facility, and to have that much money on the upfront cost out of it, but then not having a service contract to maintain and commission the facility, it's like not getting an oil change on your car, your real expensive car ultimately. And so if there wasn't a previous service contract in place and you didn't have the right facility manager at the time, there's a very good chance that maybe it worked for a year and things had started to slowly fail over time and it just kind of kept getting swept under the rug. And the problem with it too is sometimes the system will say, like for those actuators, for example, when that exhaust fan kicks on and it says that actuator or that tells that damper we need it open to 100%, the system thinks it might be at 100%, and the actuator is really only kicking it to 50% open, you know, and it's just the testing, commissioning, constantly staying on top of it and maintaining the facility. It's important.
Some of them were wired wrong, like E-pod, and I think it was C-pod were reversed. So, like, if the smoke panel said, okay, we got a fire here in C-pod, it would open the exhaust in E-pod.
So do you have your installers... are your electricians too? So you guys do.
Yep. So it's been the same two guys that have been out here for the past three things that we've done with you guys. So they're very familiar with the site now. And
I know that we just got this, but as we're coming to the end of the ARPA thing, I don't think there's any reason not to just take care of it now.
Well,
in my opinion,
you know, there's also along with that, you know. So we have an HVAC unit, which I'll be talking about a little bit after this. But one of the things I found with this new programming, as we went through it, the programmer's a great guy, and we spent a lot of time going through that stuff, is we'll have fans and everything going, and everything's working the right way, but like the air conditioning, for instance, is not physically making it into the area. So there's, at some point in time, you know, maybe somebody got put it backwards or put it wrong, or sometimes those things are deadheading, which, you know, is really hard on the equipment. So I know you guys just spent a ton of money on all those HVAC units, but I definitely think we needed to at some point do some diagnostics on each one and make sure everything's working correctly. I know it's money, but I think it's going to cost us a lot more money down the road if we don't get everything working correctly. And now we have a really good way to monitor this stuff, to look at it, make sure it's working correctly. And I'm watching it. You know, I'm watching that system really close and trying to learn what I can with it.
All right. I know the... we don't have it on... Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the information. We'll go ahead and kick it around and address it.
Awesome.
Since it's not on there, can we make a motion or do we need to go to our next meeting?
We'll have to wait.
Yeah. All right. We'll address it at our next meeting and we'll go from there.
Okay.
And then I was on for the other one. Do you want me to talk about that quick? Honestly, I didn't know how all this stuff worked. And it was kind of explained to me afterwards that if it was under $10,000, that it wasn't something you guys really looked at. But,
well, it's all looked at, but it just doesn't have to be approved.
Okay. Well, I wanted to at least give you guys a heads up about our HVAC system. And right now we do have one of our units that's down, and I've got three bids to get it repaired. And you know, they're spending. So that's why I thought I had to go this direction with it. So I just didn't know.
Okay.
What do you... Where is it, a rooftop unit?
Yes, and it's the compressor's down on it. The blower motor's down on it. There's a plug burned up on it. So
and it's out of warranty?
Yeah. The compressor itself's not out of warranty, but basically everything else is. And when I talked to one of the contractors that gave me a bid, they thought that we had received a surge and that had burned it up. But I followed up. I actually had the power company come out physically to the jail and test our equipment, test our what energy we have coming in, and everything was well within range. And I also had them do from October 1st on, let me know exactly what has come into the jail from that point to today. And everything was well within range. And then on top of that, the contractor that told me this said it was 500 volts going into it. And that's probably what caused it. And the power company said, no, 500 volts would set their meter off and they would know. Even with the bids that we haven't necessarily determined what made this, you know, two or three old. I don't know how old the unit is. It's under 3 years,
right? It's under four.
Yeah. We don't know what actually made it go down. And I actually am leaning more towards, maybe it was deadheading. Maybe it was, there's something not quite right with that system.
And sometimes compressors fail.
Sometimes compressors fail. So that's a thing, too. Mm-hmm. But either way.
What kind of money are the bids, ballpark?
Ballpark, I have them right here. My highest one is $6,571.75, and my lowest one is... it was like $5,300, and the middle one was $6,271, but that will also subtract off if we go with them $126 diagnostic fee to them coming out and doing the estimate.
And that includes
$5,433.
But they're going to stand behind the compressor, so we'll get the compressor. Or does that include a compressor?
Well, for all three of them, we'll still use the warranty that we have.
Use the warranty on them.
Yeah, even though they go back on the piece of equipment itself and make sure it's covered. So it doesn't have to be the person to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
So they all three will use the compressor warranty. Unfortunately, that's the only warranty.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else only had a one-year warranty on it, which I thought was pretty sucky, to be honest with you.
Who'd you get bids from?
I got bids
on this
from
going forward.
On excuse me, what
you're talking?
Yeah, I got bids from Suter, from A-Team, and from Farrell's.
Okay.
One of the things Farrell's also does is they had kind of a robust, and I don't have a dog in the fight, to be honest with you guys. But
that's Farrell's, good.
Yeah, I don't at all. I just want to put in correctly, so we're not spending another $6,000 2 years from now. But Farrell's does have a good diagnostic program where, I mean, you pay for it, but they go in and they do diagnostics on all their HVAC system. They don't just throw the piece in, you know. So
who was low bid?
The low bid was Suter. Yeah, the low bid was Suter at $5,433. And keep in mind, all these could go up if when they put that in and start it up, they find the problem, which hopefully they do, and then it'll take further repair. But without the compressor running, mm-hmm. you can't really figure out what happened.
You know, for Marty and Brian's sake, and Troy's been here as long as I have, but this jail and this HVAC has been nothing but problems.
Even when it was on the previous time.
Since they were installed, so I know who I wouldn't get with that bid. And I won't throw them under the bus, but we'll talk about it. And can you get us a maintenance contract?
I was just about to ask that.
When you come next time with this.
When is the next meeting?
Yeah.
When is it? 2 weeks. Monday at 9 a.m.?
No, it'll be at 3. The next one will be at 3. Next one will be at 3. But
awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, I appreciate what you're doing, Todd.
Yeah.
But you, anyway.
It does say, Bob, that... And find a funding source on this. So if we wanted to move forward on the repairs, I think that we would be fine doing that. Not on the HVAC, on the
on the other.
Yeah. I would like that because right now we're not protected, guys.
Yeah.
Out of the seven pods, there's one of them.
Yeah, so we can do that.
Yeah.
We just
have
the maintenance contract.
It talks about in it.
So that's what we'll need.
So I'll meet with Todd. I mean, we've got a very, we've got 20 different offerings that we choose from. A lot of them won't apply to this facility. I mean, some of them are for hospitals and stuff. So I'll meet with him and we'll review and see what he thinks is important, and then we'll have something put together for that meeting. When, how far in advance do you guys need the proposals and stuff to have the prices put on the agenda?
Just that, what, the
Thursday
before the meeting.
Okay, we can do that.
And I've got a few projects that I've been. I'm not trying to, I'm being really, trying to be really aware of not spending too much money. Honestly, it's taxpayer money. I'm a taxpayer. I appreciate that. But there's a few things I'm wanting to spend money on to get this stuff up to par. There's some safety, it's a big safety issue.
Okay.
But this
is, go ahead and make sure that you get on the agenda then whenever you think there's something that you want to talk about with regard to that.
Yeah.
So more, I would make it this time.
What's that?
More HVAC stuff?
No, actually the other ones.
Good.
The other ones are more obvious. There's some scary. I'd love to tour one of you guys through, see, so I could show you physically. It would speak a thousand times.
All right, yeah, let's go ahead and get stuff organized and get some prices, and we'll take a look at it.
Okay.
I'd make a motion to go ahead and approve the money for the additional work on the fire system over there, the combination of the three bids,
three
the base scope, scope one and scope two. I think it would be wise to go ahead and move those down for that $3,800 because, you know, whenever we work on anything, we'd have to rent a lift, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So that would be my motion.
And
scope one, scope two, and the base, and the total of which, who's got a calculator handy? Brian does. He's our he's our math guy.
Yeah. That's a scary thing if I'm the math guy.
You know, as we were doing this, as we were on the lift up there, and I want to say we were even in the pod that happened to have had the fire. In comes the fire marshal for the early walkthrough.
That's good.
So, you know, it's I told him, I said, hey, we're working on it.
We're good.
Come back in a couple weeks, please.
Yeah.
$19,762.
So that's my motion for
$19,762.
ARPA.
Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll come over at the meeting and grab a signature for it.
Okay. Marty? You're going to come back for a signature, you say?
Yeah, I'll stay at the meeting.
Okay, sounds good.
Marty?
Yep.
Ryan?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Jolene, with our roads report.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
It's hard not to say good afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had 151.5 hours maintaining roads, 7 hours working on 260th and M Avenue. They did some culvert work there. They were just back cleaning up some ditches. 140 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 1,413.71 tons of gravel out on the roads and 442.52 in the yard. Had 9 hours on signs. Scott had an hour with weeds. He met with the state. The state came in and did their audit. And then we request for gravel on 192nd O Avenue, S Avenue, and T Avenue.
Anything else?
Things have kind of wind down. We did get a new person started last week, so we'll see how that goes. Hopefully it'll go pretty well. Things are starting to quiet down. Guys are getting ready for winter. Any questions?
Jolene, any comment on that the railroad crossing from earlier?
Did you guys see the maps with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, we would still. They're just closing up to each end of the crossing.
Yeah.
We have to come down, maintain, turn around, and hit it from the other side.
And
anytime we close something that close to the town limits, it makes me very.
Yeah, I agree. You have to have two ways in and out, if at all possible. So I agree.
And if they have the option to put in additional crossing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus the farmer we looked at the farm ground. He would have to go out of his field and go around and come back, you know. That's,
yeah.
So.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay.
Very good. Next, we have Commissioner Lonsby with Olson Farms. Some runoff from our old Brian pit, but what do you, Troy, what they say there in the end? Then?
Well, we were kind of, I guess, looking over some of the property lines and stuff, and I think they're not worried about it at all. So.
Okay. All right. So that's taken care of. And then we're going to discuss and approve or deny projects, purchase of monies from the America Rescue Plan. We've received bids with regard to some work on M Avenue. Cherie, do we have the current ARPA
totals? So, Marty, can I ask just back on the Olson and Troy? So no claim?
No claim.
No, nothing on
nothing.
That?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. They decided no claim.
Thank you.
I think that the tree in question was actually on county ground, I believe.
Okay.
Very well. Could be. Yes.
All right. Good.
So.
No, it's not.
Okay.
We had Tim Lamprecht look at it.
Okay.
The fence line, the property line is just like a foot or two on the east side of that fence line.
So. Did the old tree set where the new tree got planted, I wonder? Because where the new tree's planted, there certainly hasn't been any dirt remediation done there. Because the grass is all around it, just like at the rest of the property. Unless it was down in lower end of that draw where they hauled some dirt in. But so
I can't remember where the other one was.
There's definitely a new tree there. I stepped on the way in and took a look. There's a new tree there, but it's not in a place where dirt had been moved out. And
she must have taken down that tin shed that was in the corner of that yard out there.
It blew down.
Oh, did it? Looks good. Looks good.
Mother Nature helped with that one.
Is that, do we have salt in that building out there yet? Or did we do?
Yeah.
Not sure. Is that what we call that salt?
Yeah. We got our salt and sand. And
did they take it? When, I can't remember.
They took it when we bought that? Yeah.
They took it.
Yeah. When we went out there and Matt, Dan thought it would all stay, and they had other ideas.
Yeah, they came and took it.
Did South Sioux buy the yard in South Sioux?
Yep.
Yeah, I see. Obviously, I mean, you see a lot of the trucks there. And
oh, another comment I should just say. At the end of the North Bluff Road and Highway 35, there was a car accident there like a year or two ago, and they hit that culvert. And you said it was state right away. State has to take care of it. State is arguing with us on that. They're trying to say that their responsibility ends at the white line when it comes to structures. Anyway, so I talked to NIRMA, and they do not agree with that. So we'll be getting with Kim and NIRMA and trying to see if we can get the state to make some repairs to that culvert so that doesn't fall on us. So Kim, I'll be in touch.
Okay, so if we subtract the 19,000, about where we are, where are we? We don't want to overcommit for sure.
Right now we have 492,353 left.
So we're right at 500,000.
Minus the 19?
19.7.
Okay.
So it's 4 what?
472,593.
Okay.
The security door that's on.
All right.
Somewhere
there. Okay. So then, the first thing on the list is to approve accounts payable claim for the Dakota County Star for M Avenue bidder notices.
That was $72.
$72, unless Mike wanted to waive that. Now,
that's a no.
I got a car payment.
I would say that we should use that. We had talked about funding whatever we decide to do there through ARPA, so I think we should certainly pay for the $72 to the Star out of the ARPA funds.
Second.
Ryan?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yeah.
My Department of Security asked for a raise, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, there you go. Building and grounds, we've already discussed the safety door at the motor vehicle there. Rodney's going to be able to put it on. It's through Builder's Source. It was, what, $1,100-some dollars.
That's just the door for the office?
That's the door, the security door. The door they have now, at one time they talked about moving into the old commissioner building, but the head of it came, the head of motor vehicles came through and really liked that site better, but wished that they had a solid core door. So the door that is on there now is like an interior hollow core door that anybody could kick through if they want, or most people could kick through if they wanted to. So they wanted a solid core fire rated door on there, and we said we could certainly do that one.
I'll move to approve if nobody has yet on the door, safety door.
I'll second.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Board to review and award bid for M Avenue road projects. Is the engineer not here? Is that right?
For this project?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
He's not here today.
Okay. But do they do oversight on it while the project's being done to make sure it meets their specs? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's in part of their engineering fees?
Well, that, so...
Once it's awarded, I guess.
Once it's awarded, then they'll come... The contract we have with them is to get them through the design stage and the bid process here. And then for them to oversee it, they'll come with another contract on the oversight of the
project. If we approve that, they would need to be here rapidly to do.
Yep. And they were out on, they did S Avenue for us.
Okay.
They were out there a lot. So, yeah.
Very good. All right. What do you guys think? Go ahead. You want to take the ball, Troy? You've kind of been spearheading part of this.
Jalene and I were at the bid opening, and we had three people offer bids, and Jalene, you want to take it from there?
So we did the three sections.
Four sections?
Four sections, the 3 miles. The one section was broken up into a half mile because we weren't sure it'd be a little more work intensive. But the bids came in pretty good. Low bid being $163,608.98. Cooney had low bid. I don't know. You guys can see this.
Yep.
You got this one?
Yep.
There's just, if it's in red, there was just slight calculation error from when we opened up the bid. The contractor went through and corrected anything. But Cooney had low bid on 4 of the sections. And Oban had low bid on one of the sections, and it was about $1,000 difference, not quite $2,000, it looks like, difference. So you guys can have the option of giving Oban section A because he was low bid, but then Cooney had low bid on the rest. Cooney's out there, he's doing it all. The engineer said you could do either way, but Oban's bid is probably based on doing all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is broken up into sections.
Yeah.
But he said you can do whatever you want there. You can award low bid in each section or just award it entirely to the low bidder, which was $163,608.98.
It's all M, correct?
Uh-huh. So it's starting... 210th which is just a little bit further south than the Lake Road. They did it, 210th is not technically there on the map on that section of road, but to the east and the west, you can see where 210th comes in, to 240th, which is not quite to Fiddler Creek, but it's close. But that's how he broke it up in those sections. All on M.
Well, I think that the bids are under what I was expecting.
Right. Yeah. And then, so in the rest of the, on the agenda, there's culverts, gravel, and seeding. And that's what we project is going to cost, because we, to help keep the cost down, we're going to provide the culverts, they're going to install them. Mm-hmm. But then we'll do the seeding and the gravel. And then, so since we thought we would be close, we could go over, not need enough. That's why I just said four road projects, so it's mm-hmm. not tying these dollar amounts specifically to M Avenue.
Yep.
In case we have some surplus, then we can still mm-hmm. use that money in other areas.
So that one-inch road base, is that for this project?
Correct, uh-huh.
And the one-inch road base, is that through Evers?
Uh-huh, right.
It's one-inch...
One inch rock.
Of course, yep.
And I did check the prices for next year, and they're like 10 cents cheaper a ton. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even if we did start hauling in a few loads in mm-hmm. December, it's because I was concerned about the prices varying. I did ask if you can see there was like a $2.30 surcharge yet. Well, they're waiting for that bridge to get fixed between Sioux City and Sioux Falls. I asked him when we thought that would be fixed and that surcharge could come off, and he thought it would be May or June of next year before that bridge was done. So we still got to account for that.
Does the so when you're doing a road base, does the one-inch quartz site make a lot more sense than one-inch crushed concrete when you're building the base itself?
We just really haven't had a lot of luck with that that crushed concrete.
Just breaking down over time, I'm sure.
Well, you know, and then, and granted it's in the base, but then the guys have also said when, you know, it wears down, you go to break, it can get hard, and it just chews up our mm-hmm. grader blades pretty good, too. So, I mean, mm-hmm. we've had better luck. The specs are calling for the one inch on mm-hmm. this. I mean, I could... check with Josh. A lot of it's availability too. Mm-hmm. And I think, boy, it's been a year or two since we were even able to come up. Not to say that in 2 years somebody doesn't got a pile sitting somewhere
yeah.
again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but,
sure.
We just figured this was pretty steady. The guys could haul into the yard during the winter and have it ready. I think that start date on the one, we're talking April 1st or March 1st.
And what was your, do you know what the total is right off the top of your head with the culvert seating and?
So the 100? Gravel, I have, Brian, you got your calculator?
Sure.
121,450.
What was it?
121,450, even.
The culverts were $7,040. And the seeding for the seed was $1,120. Sorry. And the seeding blankets were $2,090.
So $131,700.
So $294-ish total, Marty.
Okay.
What do you guys think about the white rock from Fort Calhoun?
Be getting it here?
I know that other counties have farmers back all that, and sometimes I guess that can be pretty reasonable, but I didn't know how that would work in our area. But
I guess guess I have not spoken with anyone about it.
Because, like, Thurston County, I know, uses some of it, and you know, like Cumming County, which they're closer, I realize. But, I mean, I know we have a lot of farmers going down to Blair, so that might be something to look into. I have no idea how great it holds up, but I know a lot of counties use it, so.
Mm-hmm. I can ask Josh about using that White Rock, seeing if we could get some numbers.
Just a thought.
And come back with a quote on that for the next
meeting. Yeah, why don't we just at the next meeting, just nose into that a little bit and see if it does make sense at all. And then by the next meeting, we'll be wanting to get everything kind of finalized. So.
Okay. So are we wanting to wait to approve everything to the gravel,
so,
or just the gravel
ahead,
portion
yeah,
of it?
Yeah, let's just do, okay. Just looking at the gravel. And then are you looking at is that a load of culverts, or is it just enough culverts for the job?
The engineer was thinking we would need 15-ish, so we went with 20 just to...
And maybe if it looks like we have a little ARPA money at the end, maybe we'll add some to that so we have some in the yard.
Okay. Some will be a 40-foot driveway, some not. So, I mean, it just once we get out there. But
yeah.
We did get some good numbers on the culverts. So, yeah we'll look
into
that.
Yeah, sounds good. What's everybody think about the project?
I think it'd be a worthwhile project for the area.
Is M our busiest?
It's definitely one of the busiest coming out of the hills. What do you think there, Lance? Is that one of our busiest roads that farmers would use to get their crops in? I know everybody between Hubbard and Emerson out in that way, almost everything in Lux's are out on that road. There's a lot of truck traffic out there.
And we'd had Andy approach us this morning, Jolene. He is not very happy with it only going to be 28 foot.
What going to be, the width of the road?
The width of the road, 28 foot. But
there's some parts of that road that are over 40 foot wide right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, we're trying to get the road shaped up, get some proper drainage. These are to specs. You know, he was worried about if somebody went off into the ditch and having a steeper ditch. And I said, well, you know, it's still the responsibility of the driver to stay on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, we don't want anybody getting hurt going into the ditch, but sometimes that's preventable. But when we have potholes and mud holes that people are trying to dodge around to, that isn't good. And the project is in with our right-of-way.
Yeah.
He said there was a farmer that might not be happy. And I said, well, we are in our right-of-way, so we have that ability to work in that area. So it's a process.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's not, you know, further down, further south, it's not that wide in those locations either. But the engineers did say when they were out surveying and doing the work that they really had to have their head on a swivel. It was a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
It was kind of dangerous out there. So, granted, they were in the middle of harvest. Oh, sorry. I'm going to jump real quick. Norfolk Contracting called. They're going to start trying to move stuff in this week and hopefully get that bridge done. So you might want to, that road will be closed. North Bluff Road will be closed again for probably 2 weeks while they do the work and then the concrete cure. So I asked if he could hopefully wait till after Thanksgiving, but he's like, well, I'm on a timeline. I'll see what I can do. But
if you would just shoot me a text when he's there, because I would just like to
talk to him again.
Just take a look at it.
Okay.
Hey, Jolene, in the big ARPA picture, I should know this, but I don't. When you budget in your road budget for a maintainer, is that just a
payment?
It's not.
No.
So what is it a year? Ish.
About between 110,000.
Okay.
Motor graders, just of course, in the last couple of years, have gone way.
Well, I think if we're scrambling here at the end, because that's in your budget for this next year, correct?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
is it every year or every other?
Well, we would like to get on a yearly schedule because we're really getting dumped on with a lot of maintenance issues right now. Repair issues. I shouldn't say maintenance. Repair issues. It's really killing us.
And your loader is in this year also or not?
Yeah. Yeah, a payment in on the loader.
And did you get it started? Because last time I talked to one of your guys, they could not get the loader started. Is it running now, Lance?
The guy was out there Friday morning.
He was out Friday, and they think maybe a pump is bad, so they put some clear lines on, see if we can figure out if it's bleeding back, if it's injectors, if it's pump. I looked at it this morning, and it was still full. So
time will tell.
I was afraid to try starting it.
Yeah, so the loader, new salt and sand truck, new grader, all of that stuff we're looking into getting replaced. So, yeah, the road department definitely does not want to sit back and say, no, we won't take any more money.
Right. No, I know. Because we have it. Being our M project is, I mean, we're still couple hundred thousand away from so that might enter into the
it's something that certainly affects a large number of people in the county, and that's kind of what the money was meant for. So
because we can't bond.
Now we can't bond, but can we do lease payments with ARPA? Could we pay $150,000 down on a maintainer or loader and then get a lease to purchase the rest?
I would assume we could, because there's no bond.
Bob, do you want to make a phone call to whoever it is to follow up on that?
Sure.
That'll teach you for suggesting.
Well, I mean, you know, it's we're coming down to the crunch time,
yeah.
And we do not want to give any money back.
No.
And so we'll find a home for it somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Whether it's you don't have anything up your sleeve, do you, that you need? So, okay.
Are you going to send out for bids for any of that stuff coming up shortly, or?
Actually, we put a notice in the paper on Thursday, so today I'm going to wrap up that we changed the some of the specs, and I need to clean those up and get them out to the dealers this afternoon. And at the next meeting, I have on the agenda already to open bids for a new grader and loader.
When's bid opening on that?
The Thursday or Friday before. I will check the date and time on that, Troy.
Just remind me, though.
I gave him the wrong time last week. We both showed up at the wrong time, but
it wasn't that far off.
So we're looking for a motion, Marty. I'll make a motion on the M Avenue project then, and I would suggest that we give it all to Cooney Fertilizer. Beans are out there doing the work. I guess that's it for now, because the culverts, each item is, unless you want to.
And I would second that. Let's do that first, and then we'll talk about the counties.
Okay.
Troy? Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, I will let Josh know, and he'll get the contracts out for that then.
Okay. And then I guess it's probably not as crucial for ours to get let's go ahead at our next meeting, decide whether we're going to add some culverts to that or not, and then by then we'll have the information on the rock. We'll just get it approved at our next meeting, and we'll be ready
okay.
to go.
Okay. The seeding, I have to know today. Home Depot has got 3 pallets on hold for us.
Okay.
They were
nice.
Clearancing out their we have an employee that works part-time there.
Where at?
At Home Depot.
Oh, nice.
And he knew that they were clearancing out all the grass
seed.
Oh,
that's fantastic.
So.
Yeah, I would make a motion that we go ahead and purchase the seed through ARPA for the M Avenue project and anywhere else we
the
need.
The seeding and blankets
yeah.
were two separate things.
Yeah,
okay.
The seeding
okay.
and blankets.
I second that.
Yeah, that was a good deal.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Tell your employee thank you. Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Commissioner Committee reports. Anybody got anything?
I have a couple, Marty. The first one is we talked, Trudy Cramper,
mm-hmm.
Trudy was here last time. About the M Avenue paving project, potential paving with in conjunction with 35 being paved next year. I reached out to Sierra Lund from the state, and her first comment was that Beans M Avenue is a county road. There would be no participation from the state. Mm-hmm. So that's a non-starter for us. Then, unfortunately, I haven't given Trudy that information yet, but she'll probably get that eventually. So good luck to you guys next year getting that done. The other thing is I just want to bring to the board's attention. We were made aware of a few months ago about the employee pot fund, and one of the things that the state allows counties to do is to actually budget for a employee recognition dinner. In the past or currently, our pot fund is used for flowers for deceased family members. And employee recognition dinner. So we as the board then, or we either do it this year or I would suggest the next board for a budget, you have to do a resolution which would simply allow the board to pay for a employee recognition dinner with a cap of X amount of dollars and et cetera, and have that party, because with our pop fund, that's probably not going to happen. Steph left, but I mean, we used to have enough money to cover that, but we changed pop machines, et cetera, and we're not going to have that kind of money again. So, I mean, anyway, it would be part of the budget going forward, and I would that would remedy that, because I mean, hey, we need an employee recognition dinner. So that is all I have, sir.
I had North Star went to Wayne last Thursday, and that was just they had the audit, so got that done. And then planning and zoning Tuesday, solar farm stuff, and they're getting to the end of that, where I think they'll have the public meetings on it, so they're getting close. That's all I got.
I had nothing in the last 2 weeks with regard to that. Mail or emergency business?
I didn't get a chance to speak during public comment, so I just wanted Mike Carnes from Dakota County Star. I just wanted to thank Cherie and her staff for providing the election results in a very timely manner. It was I think we got about 11 o'clock on Tuesday night, which was great. The other counties, we had some other counties that we wanted to kind of include in the overall vote totals, like with the legislation and stuff like that. And everybody was really really good about getting stuff to the public on a timely basis. And I mentioned that not only to thank Cherie for that, but also I saw something yesterday that in the nation of India, they had 424 million people vote in their last election, and their election results were ready in one day. Conversely, here in the United States, there are several states here who still, 3 weeks after the election, have not completed their election totals. So just kind of put that in perspective a little bit. So and one final thing, I noticed Brian's got the mustache thing going, and I was thinking, you know, if you want to go all the way and maybe you know, shave the head and then get a tuxedo, you could be the Monopoly guy.
Could be the Monopoly guy.
So I thought that was the first thing I noticed when I saw the mustache. He could be the Monopoly guy. So
thanks for that, Mike.
So
Cherie in her office, definitely during election. It is it's a very time consuming deal, and there are people that are here early and stay late. And it was nice to get those results when they come in there. So I would say, because there are many counties around us, as I was watching the results that night, where they didn't come in until the next day or two. So I would commend the clerk's office and everybody that helps them.
Yeah, I've worked when I was in Wayne. I worked quite a bit with the county clerk's office there, and they were always really good about trying to get results done in a timely manner, and And, you know, they had precincts coming in from all over the county. So, you know, some of their precincts didn't get the results, didn't get the ballots to the courthouse until like 8:30, 45. And usually it was by, you know, within a half an hour after that last one came in that they were able to get them done. So I appreciate the work that those people do and in getting those results done in a timely manner. And I can't imagine what it was like in the old days before computers and scanning equipment and all that stuff. How long that process would take?
Put your X in,
huh?
Just put your X on the page.
Yeah. There was a lot different back then, I'm sure. So, but. Thanks a lot, and happy Thanksgiving again.
Thanks,
Brian. Brian, did you have something that you wanted to add for Thanksgiving?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You guys, everybody, have a good Thanksgiving.